you in the 06010.
Welcome into the CSS DFS Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Dopp. On the couch to my left is Mike Clay. Hello, Michael.
Hello. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. You are dressed up and looking mighty fine today.
Yes. We don't have video for this show, but if you watch the earlier Fantasy Focus podcast, the main one with Field Yates, you could see the videos, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and you could see the costume. Or I put it on social media at Mike Clay NFL. So we're having some fun. I'm not on the show tomorrow when you guys are all dressed
Correct.
For Halloween. So, of course, I went rogue and just randomly showed up as David Rose today. So, look, I purchased the materials, and my wife worked really hard on
she crushed
this sweatshirt.
It.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
She crushed it. So, if you have not seen it, absolutely check out Mike's social media at Mike Clay NFL to see this. The idea that you bought a plain black sweatshirt, and then your wife put all of those lightning bolts on there, or thunderbolts, I guess, whatever you want to call them.
Thunderbolts, yeah. Yeah. So, and also, I could reuse this when I'm watching the Chargers, too.
Yes!
All right, double
use. 100%. Speaking of...
100%.
100%! Al Zeidenfeld is here, too. There we go. Al, how you doing over there in sunny California?
I'm doing good. It got really cold last night.
Oh,
it got
wow.
all the way down to like 53 degrees.
I hate you. I hate you.
Yeah, it's
and now's a good time to remind everyone, don't forget to love each other,
yeah.
because there's a lot of people in life that are sometimes hard to love, but it's important. You love them through their pains.
Man.
Guys, listen.
Well, anyway.
We had a week last week. Looking back at the week 7 recap, congratulations to Munch 21, M-U-N-S-C-H 21. Came home with the victory. Unfortunately, I only came in second.
Rough one.
With 249.9, tied for second. Mike Clay, you came in 11th.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? I was beating you by like, I was in the top 10 during Monday Night Football, right? Around
yep.
halftime, we were texting. And I was up there. I was like 6th, and you're like, whoa, no way, cool. And you were like, I don't know.
80th, 85th. Yeah.
But you had Tyler Lockett in your lineup. So next thing I know,
yeah,
you passed me. I think Christian Kirk had a touchdown to put you over. You passed me right out, and I ended up 11th. But 2,057 entries, that was our best week by far in a year and a half now doing this contest. Now, the funny thing is we're building cash lineups, right? So the point of those isn't really to put up point totals that high. It's just to be in the upper 50%. That's what we're trying to build. But the chalk hit last week, right,
yes,
Al? I mean,
it
the,
did.
The chalk went crazy, and the cash lineups went off.
Yeah, it's a new show that they're coming out with on ABC, When Chalk Attacks. Yeah.
Wow.
That really was.
That's what happened.
You know, it's a crossover event here with the 06010 podcast.
I'll tell you what, and Al, you, just to really quickly get into this, and I understand I'm not trying to use my lineup as an example, but like it's a perfect example of a lot of the strategy that you talk about, Al, where I had Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk on the comeback. I had Tyler Lockett on the other side. I had a secondary stack set up. So like a lot of the things that you talk about when you're talking about roster construction, the idea of like if you like a game and you like a quarterback going off with their wide receiver in that game, look on the other side of that and see if maybe you have points that would happen from there as well.
Amazing how that works. I think every single millionaire maker this year has had a quarterback stacked with a bring back player, and 6 of 8 of them also had a secondary stack.
Wow.
Something like that. Like, it's amazing how this works. It's much easier to be right about 2 things than it is about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Not wrong about that.
Good point. So anyway, awesome week. We'll try to do it again. And by the way, this is just a reminder. We taped the show on Thursday morning. A lot can change between now and game time, so you have to stay on top of it. We did update our ESPN Plus charts on Sunday, I think Saturday night or Sunday morning, because of all of the injury news. And make sure you take a peek at that if we're able to get the updates in, because that's where you would have found Giovanni Bernard.
Jamal Williams. And Harrison Bryant.
And Harrison Bryant was an outstanding play last week. So no doubt about it. And Antonio Gibson went off. We did talk about him on the show. But overall, yeah. And by the way, the other one was, and you know, we obviously it was a good week. We had a lot of happy people who listened to the show. But DeMarcus Robinson was a guy we talked about who was in a snow game, right? Travis Kelce as well. And I tweeted about that too. Like, you know, or actually I talked about it on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning.
No big deal.
So in bad weather games, you have to adjust to that too. So just make sure, you know, you stay on top of it, keep following along, and read Al's Best Buy column, which I believe you updated as well. So yeah. You got to be ready to adjust to in this game.
100%. Speaking of adjusting, it looks like right now, Derek Carr.
Oh, yeah.
$5,500. Mike, I don't want to be this guy, but is Derek Carr kind of coming back a little bit based on some of the things that we've seen? I mean, he's had a number of great games here in a row. Four of the last five, I think, have been over 19 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. So a guy that with this price point seems like absolutely ripe for the taking here.
I agree with that. I don't think he's coming back as a fantasy asset. In fact, in the last podcast, we compared someone to Philip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I think Derek Carr, his trajectory, his career as a fantasy asset is very much like Philip Rivers, where occasionally occasionally a good matchup. You think about streaming him, especially during bye weeks, but really just not a good fantasy quarterback. That may change this week, right? He's only 5,500. He's priced 19th out of 22 quarterbacks in this slate. He's been top 12 back-to-back weeks, but he had none of those in his first 4 weeks. So obviously we should have some reservations there, but he's putting up passing production, 260 plus passing yards and 2+ passing touchdowns, both of those things in 5 straight games. And this week he gets Cleveland. It's all about the matchup here. The 8th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. If we adjust for volume, they're the 2nd worst. They are top 3 in attempts faced, completions allowed, passing yardage. They're 6th in touchdowns allowed with 16. So it's all about pricing and matchup here. And Cash, I think he's a tremendous, tremendous option.
Absolutely. Al, I look at Joe Burrow taking on the Tennessee Titans, and I think to myself, the Tennessee Titans aren't the defense that they once used to be. And this rookie quarterback has looked pretty fantastic so far. You like him this week going up against Tennessee?
I do. Tennessee's been a little bit of a pass funnel, meaning that they're a little bit tougher against the run. They force you to throw the ball, and they're a little bit weak against specific things when throwing the ball. They're the worst third down defense in the league, and they have the 2nd worst red zone defense in the league, allowing scores on 81% of opponents' red zone opportunities. And the one thing that Burrow has had issues with, not with pass attempts or completions, not with his efficiency in that area. He's had a ton of 300-yard games getting you the bonus on DraftKings, but he's been touchdown unlucky so far this year with as many yards, completions, and attempts as he's had. He did kind of correct that last week a little bit with 3 touchdowns. He's averaging 329 passing yards this year in games that end with a real-life total of 45 or more points. This has a total of 54.5 points expected in this one. It's just another spot where I like him. And looking at the salary, that's another reason. So Herbert is somebody who's been fantastic as well, another rookie. He's priced all the way up to 6,900, and they left Burrow at 62. So I'll take the $700 savings and a real good chance at the 300-yard bonus and multiple touchdowns.
I like Love that.
It. Yeah, Burrow, absolutely a great value. Al and I, talking and setting this up, we're on the same page for a lot of these guys, and there's no question Carr, Burrow, and another guy on my list, Jimmy Garoppolo, exceptional play this week at Seattle.
Really? Jimmy Garoppolo against Seattle? Because this has to be just 100% matchup-based and the cost of having him in your lineup, because Jimmy has not inspired a ton of confidence.
Yeah, and they're so cheap that you can, I think, get away with it in cash. And as we know, Al, historically, in the Millie Maker, the winning lineups go on the cheaper side for quarterback, right? I know that trend has changed a little earlier this season, but, I think maybe they'll, because of their price and matchup, they'll be a little chalky, but usually quarterbacks are spread out by a decent margin enough that, Garoppolo, what do you think? 10% range or so for ownership?
Less? I mean, the matchup's going to push. I mean, quarterbacks never really have a lot of roster percentage on. Like, none are ever really over 20. Mm-hmm. So I could see him being in that 5 to 10% range. The thing is, yeah, there's a difference between his possible floor and possible ceiling here, which is not all that much of a deterrent for me, because I'm really only concerned with ceiling options here for quarterback. Mm-hmm. So if he has a chance at a 30-point game, and a lot of quarterbacks have a ceiling between 30 and 35, we can get to that. It's much easier to pair him in stacks this week because of all the injuries that they have, and then we can always bring it back with either Lockett or Metcalf on the other side. So there's very easy builds with Garoppolo in there, quarterback, and some cheap options on San Francisco at pass catcher outside of Kittle, obviously.
Yeah, and by the way, our friends at Fantasy Labs have a 6.5 projected ownership for Garoppolo right at this point, and Carr is low. Oh, there he is. Carr's at 3%, so that's actually lower than I would have expected. I think that might be a little higher, but that's where they fall, so maybe they're more attractive than I even thought.
Speaking of another attractive option, Josh Allen, we obviously watched struggle last week, came down $700 to only $7,000 this week. He was $7,700 last week. Is he a guy that you like this week, or are you not worried about you know, we've seen, it feels like Josh Allen maybe trending down softly a little, as you could say it.
Yeah, what did they have, six field goals drives last week?
Something ridiculous.
Just kept cruising right down the field and just couldn't put it in the end zone. I think that was probably a little fluky. Definitely worried a little that he's fallen off, but he had so much value with his legs too, and we know that they're a pass-heavy offense. I think if people are nervous about Allen, and I'm sure some people are right now, maybe he could jump back in. So if you want to spend up a little bit, and again, like you said, he's cheaper, but if you want to spend up a bit, I wouldn't be super intimidated by New England right now. Their defense has not been as good as they've been in years past.
Sure. Anything else you guys want to talk about for quarterbacks before we move on?
I'm good to go.
Al, you
roll
good?
The running backs, yeah.
You know what, guys? On ESPNU Radio on SiriusXM, that's where you need to be if you live and breathe college football. We're talking live games, the latest rankings, conference and team news, analysis from experts like Mark Packer, Greg McElroy, and EJ Manuel, all leading up to championship specials, and more. Take SiriusXM with you and always have the latest college football info that you need. Listen right now on the SiriusXM app or online at SiriusXM.com/ESPNU. Mike Clay, Kareem Hunt is probably my favorite running back on this entire slate this week. $6,900 taking on the Raiders, and it just feels like the matchup and the volume here is just fantastic at a guy priced under 7K.
No question about it. And think about this. Even with Nick Chubb playing a few games this season, the number six scoring fantasy running back right now is none other than Kareem Hunt. He's been top 25 in 6 of 7 weeks. He's actually playing a little bit different of a role than I think most of us expected. He's had double-digit carries in every game. He's averaging just under 14.5 a game. He's 8th in rushing yards. He's 2nd in yards after contact. That part is no surprise. Super effective running back. But he's only averaging 15.1 receiving yards a game, which is a lot lower than we expected. Still, he has 4 touchdown catches. His 4 total touchdowns lead all running backs. And the matchup here, fantastic. The Raiders, 2nd most fantasy points allowed to running backs, the most rushing touchdowns allowed with 8, allowing just under 5 yards per carry. That is 6th worst. Also, the most targets and receiving yards allowed to running backs. So maybe Hunt does more in that department. We like everything about this projected role, price, matchup, outstanding play.
Do you think that the lack of OBJ is going to change some of the offensive game plan and maybe be a little bit more run heavy to take some pressure off of Baker? Or do you not think that that narrative really exists here?
No, because they're already a run heavy offense.
Yeah.
So I don't think
they can't get much more than
you're
what
already
they
on that kind of end. An extra run or two is not going to matter. It's going to come down to game script for sure. So I don't think that'll matter. Maybe it leads to an extra target or two, though. Maybe they design more plays for him instead of designing plays for OBJ. Didn't really happen last week, but going forward, who knows?
Yeah, you never know. Al, a running back that you like this week, and I am all in on this as well, Myles Gaskin. If you look at the workload that he's had over the last 2 weeks and knowing he's only $5,200 taking on the LA Rams, I mean, that's got to be a huge part of it here, right?
I'm going to use some advanced analytics on this pick to explain to you why it's such a good pick. So the main slate's got 11 games.
Okay.
That means 22 teams. Quick maths lets me know that. He's the 25th priced running back on the slate, and based on Mike's projections, he has got the 9th highest projection on the slate. So the analytics tell me that this is a good play.
That's going deep. That's going deep right there. I mean,
it's really good. Deep dive.
So then why do you think he's priced at $5,200? I understand it's not your job to price these players out, but like, why is he this low given the workload that we've seen?
I mean, I think that the sites do certain things to price the players based on, we saw this last week with Deontay Johnson, right? Like coming off of 2 games where he did not have great weeks.
Yep.
And then it's a player coming off of a bye week. He hasn't scored a ton of touchdowns, which seems to be weighted into DraftKings pricing algorithm this year more so than in past years. He's somebody who can pay this salary off on value or on volume alone, which is something I always look for in cash games. And if he happens to wander into the end zone at any point, it's going to be an absolute smash. He's had at least 4 targets in every game this year, caught at least 3 passes in every game this year, has a tremendous floor with his usage in the passing game, and is getting more than enough usage in the running game with like 15 carries in the last couple of games. Now that they're using him as a workhorse back, I don't need 25 plus touches from him, but he should approach 20 with 4 or 5 of those coming in the passing game. Like, he's got a tremendous floor. And yeah, the Rams are a tough defense, which could limit his efficiency a little bit on a per touch basis, but the price is just ridiculously cheap versus the volume that he sees right now.
3 of the last 4 weeks, he's had at least 21 touches in every single game.
Yeah. And they're just ramping him up more and more. They're just using him more. They're saying good things. And I think part of it, part of people's perception of him, and I have all him a lot. I scooped him up in a lot of leagues, so I'm banking on him being good the rest of the way, is that you worry that his low pedigree and recognition and maybe him not, his efficiency not being great, you know, maybe some week they just say, you know what, we're going to try a Matt Breida more. Now, I don't think they're going to do that based on what they've said. They said he's done everything they've asked, but, you know, it makes you a little bit nervous with him for sure. But anyway, for now, at this price and that volume, no question. We love him.
Sign me up for that. The only question that I have, and I don't know, there's not really a quantifiable answer we can have with this, is knowing that Tua's first week, new quarterback, how does the offense change, you know, with him under center rather than Ryan Fitzpatrick? Just a thing to monitor and kind of watch this week as it plays out. Another guy to watch this week, though, Jonathan Taylor taking on the Detroit Lions for two reasons here. One, I want to see Taylor take the next step. I want to continue to see him kind of become that running back, a top echelon, top 10, top 12 guy. But the Detroit Lions rush defense, since coming out of their bye, has improved a ton. They were giving up 5.7 yards per carry before the bye, coming 5.4 yards per carry after the bye. Somewhere close in there. Kyle, just say it out loud. What is it to me? 5.57 yards per carry before the bye, coming after the bye, they're under 3 yards per carry. So is this something, a situation here where you're still more, you're buying the Jonathan Taylor side more than maybe Detroit has fixed their run defense side of this?
Yeah, I think that it's certainly a small sample for the good and the bad with
correct.
Him. Overall, they've allowed the fifth most fantasy points, fifth most top five in rush yards per game and total touchdowns to that position. So I'm not sure how I feel yet. Overall, they have struggled in that department. Taylor, for me, absolutely only in tournaments. He's the sixth highest priced running back at 6,600. I think that's too high for me for a guy who is 15th in carries and 32nd in targets among running backs, and they've had their bye, but even if you adjust for that, certainly not where we wanted him to be. 13.5 carries per game, only 9 targets in his past 4 games after he had, what, 7 in week 1?
Yeah.
So we need to see that ramp up. And he only has 1 weekly finish better than 14th so far. So we haven't seen a super high ceiling, the one maybe we thought we would get with him taking over with Marlon Mack out. So again, I think in tournaments, that's the kind of guy maybe you could pivot to with if other people are afraid of him here against the Lions at that price point. But in cash, I can't touch him.
Al, any conversation about Nyheim Hines on the other side, $4,000 rather than Jonathan Taylor here this week?
I don't like to talk about Nyheim Hines. All Nothing right. against the man. I'm sure he's a very nice individual.
That's
outstanding
fair.
Member of society, very charitable, very kind. But like, Jonathan Taylor's good. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan Taylor's not getting the usage that me and probably a couple of other people think that he should get. I'm hoping here, and maybe I'm projecting personally based on my biases towards what I believe about Jonathan Taylor, the football player, and what he could be on this offense, is that coming off of bye week, I think he should be seeing 15-plus carries a week. They are a better offense when he is on the field versus when the other backs are on the field. And I agree with Mike that I would like to see more usage in the passing game for him. But when you have Phillip Rivers as your quarterback, the only thing you need to get a couple extra targets a game is playing more snaps per week with Phillip Rivers. And you will then default into getting more targets per game. So hopefully his snaps increase. Hopefully they give him the ball 15 plus times, which would lead to about 4, hopefully maybe 5 targets a week if he's on the field for a much larger percentage of the running back snaps. Because when it comes to efficiency per touch, Taylor is much better than Wilkins or Nyheim Hines. So play the good players.
Can I just say that you could replace all of those Colts running backs names with DeAndre Swift and the rest of the Lions running backs, and that entire situation still applies. Please just give the ball to DeAndre Swift more out of all those players.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the 49ers running backs really quickly here, because there's obviously, they've been banged up a ton this year. We're now at the point where we're looking at LaMichael Hasty, is that correct?
Jamichael
Hasty. There we go. And Jerick McKinnon. We still don't know what's going on with Tevin Coleman. I don't know how to make out any one of these guys. It feels like just a dart throw on any given week. Which 49ers running back is going to run for 200 yards this week?
Yeah, it's tough. And we'll see if Tevin Coleman is activated from IR. I don't think he's going to be for this week, or if they sign someone off the practice squad. I don't know what they're going to do for depth there, because we know the Niners like to have multiple options. But for now, it's Hasty at 5K. Right now, he's the 22nd highest priced running back. And Jerick McKinnon's at 5,700. He's 16th. So the prices aren't too bad, considering that as a group, 49ers running backs lead the NFL in fantasy points. with 258. That's 28 more than the Saints. So
man,
that position is getting a ton of fantasy production so far. They have 13 touchdowns, 1,339 scrimmage yards. Both of those are first as well. Jerick McKinnon, 4.8 yards per carry. Very good. 4.7 yards per target. Not good. Maybe that's part of why he got a week off last week.
Could be.
Jamichael Hasty, 5.2 yards per carry on 20 attempts so far. Only 3 targets. So I think the usage for these guys suggests that Hasty will probably get a good chunk of the carries. McKinnon will be more of a change of pace back that could get 10 carries and also a bulk of the passing game work so far. So, look, they're not as cheap as we'd like in these situations. You know, if Mostert was rolled out not before last week, you know, they might have been a lot cheaper, but they're not. So I think Hasty is a very intriguing tournament play because he could get 20-plus touches in this game. But he's not, you know, he's not punt cheap. You know what I mean? He's just not cheap enough for that. Seattle, by the way, mid-pack against running backs, but most targets and third most receptions allowed. So that makes Jerick McKinnon a little bit more attractive.
A couple other running backs that we like here. I just want to mention them. Derrick Henry against Cincinnati. Josh Jacobs. We already talked about Kareem Hunt. So the running back on the other side of that game. Aaron Jones taking on Minnesota. We'll kind of see what's going on with Aaron Jones. I know he's been dealing with some injury
and
stuff.
And Mixon, too.
Yep, Joe Mixon. Obviously, we could look at a Gio Bernard there if anything happens.
Yep, Gio Bernard and, of course, Jamal Williams if either of those guys are out. So, yep, keep an eye on that.
Let's talk about some wide receivers here. And, Mike, you've got Kedrick Bourne, $3,500 taken on Seattle. Obviously, looking at a cheap option and a stack that you could do with an inexpensive quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. Talk to me why Kedrick Bourne is worth punting on the wide receiver position this week with what you think that he'll be able to give you here.
Yeah, definitely stack city here with San Francisco, I think. Like we talked about Jimmy Garoppolo before, if you can get Bourne with him, and I've heard they have a good tight end too.
He's not bad.
Work with Deebo Samuel is out. That's the key here. Without Samuel, Bourne will be back on the perimeter here with Brandon Ayuk, the rookie, and probably Trent Taylor in the slot. So Bourne is, again, $3,500, almost the minimum. We talk about these punt guys all the time. And I look back to weeks 1 through 4. So you had Brandon Ayuk missed week 1. Deebo Samuel was missing or limited in all those games through week 4. In those games, Bourne had 22 targets, 13 catches, 197 yards, and no touchdowns. So not very good, but he had 5-plus targets in all 4 games. Excuse me, in all 4 games. So that volume's good. And the matchup is elite. He's playing Seattle. 61 fantasy points allowed to Arizona wide receivers last week. They've allowed at least 39 fantasy points to all 6 of the wide receiver units they have faced. They're allowing the most targets, receptions, receiving yards, and fantasy points to receivers in the 4th most touchdowns. So 39 plus in every game. Okay, sure, maybe this is a week where they shut down receivers. It's possible. But if you're expecting 40 plus points to receive, where are they going? Ayuk gets, 20 maybe. That still leaves 20. I mean, where are the rest going? They don't really like Trent Taylor. I mean, I think there's a chance that Bourne could have one of those random 2-touchdown games, you know, in this game, or see 7 or 8. If he gets 7 or 8 targets, he's going to absolutely annihilate this $3,500 price point.
Yeah, we always talk about volume and opportunity are the two things that lead to fantasy success. And when there's literally nobody else in front of you other than Brandon Ayuk, I mean, you're right. Jimmy Garoppolo's got to find his wide receiver somewhere. So, Al, I want to talk to you about Keenan Allen because he has absolutely been on fire with Justin Herbert. And I'm curious, this week taking on Denver, worth spending up on Keenan Allen this week at wide receiver?
I mean, are we even spending up at this point?
No, that's the whole point. He's only like $6,200, isn't he?
Yes. Like the price has not moved. And I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because he's gotten 13 targets, 2 against New Orleans, but he caught a touchdown and left that game in the middle of the first quarter.
Right.
11 against Tampa Bay, 19 ridiculous targets against Carolina, and then 10 against KC. So basically, every game that he's been healthy, that Herbert's been the starting quarterback, he's gotten double-digit targets and sometimes into the mid to high teens. He just looks for him all over the field. Now, yes, this is a little bit tougher matchup than an average matchup, right? So he's on the, maybe he's going to be a little bit less efficient with the 10 to 15 targets that are likely headed his way, but that still means he's going to have 7 or 8 catches for probably 80 yards. That's a floor of 15 points for 6,200. I'm signing up at 6,200 again. This is another player that I believe is mispriced. It needs to be about 7,200, 7,300 based on all the other comps at the position. And he's just too cheap.
Yep.
I'm fine with him as a one-off. You don't even have to like use him as a secondary stack. Sometimes you're going to have a one-off in your tournament lineups. Definitely in cash game lineups, go with one-offs everywhere. You don't need to stack in cash. You're just trying to stack as much value as you can per slot. So Keenan Allen at 6,200 is absurd.
Yeah, no question about it. He's the best value in our DraftKings sheet this week, our ESPN Plus sheet at wide receiver. The best value. We loved him last week and love him again.
So I have a question about that because you talk about best value. And I understand this next player has struggled a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch. But I cannot believe we have reached the point where AJ Green is $4,500 on DraftKings. And I understand not playing at all last year. I understand he has struggled this year, although he has still gotten a ton of looks in the passing game. Mm-hmm. And as much as I want it to just be T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and let them be the future, and it just we've handed it over, AJ Green is still hanging around, and $4,500 is not a bad price point for him this week.
But this is the highest, maybe the highest volume passing game in the NFL right now. I mean,
yes.
Joe Burrow is number one in the entire NFL in OFP, which is opportunity-adjusted fantasy points, right? So what you're expected to get for what an average player is expected to get based on their usage, right? That's how much volume has been in this Bengals offense so far. So there's room for perhaps three wide receivers. They don't throw to the tight end very much, so maybe all three guys can survive, and they kind of have so far, right? So Boyd and Higgins are both top 25 fantasy receivers this season. AJ Green has actually led them in targets the past 2 weeks. He is 24 and 330 air yards during those two games. He's a top 30 fantasy receiver both weeks. What's kind of crushed him so far is a lack of touchdowns. He has zero, but he has a 3.4 OTD, and he is second at wide receiver with 8 end zone targets. At some point, those are going to start to turn into touchdowns if they keep throwing it to him. And on top of everything, I mean, the usage, the high volume offense, the pricing of 4,500. He also has a great matchup against Tennessee. They've allowed the fourth most fantasy points to receivers, the third most to the perimeter, which is where he is three quarters of the time, and five straight wide receiver units have scored at least 45 points against Tennessee. So across the board, a lot to like here. And Al, I know you're on Green as well. I think you were tweeting a few fun facts about AJ Green, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yesterday. Look, Kyle sends me a stat pack every single Monday of all these things that I've tried to think that I think are somewhat predictive, or at least lead me down a road to being a little bit more predictive down the road. And end zone targets is one of those. I know it's something, Mike, that you weight very much in your OTD, and it's something that I look at as well. And so I tweeted out the league leaders right now in terms of end zone targets, and he has like 8 and 0 touchdowns over the first 7 games. So anybody who wants to come at me and say that he might have, over the next 7 games, if he maintains this same amount of target volume and same amount of end zone target volume, I'll take over 0.5 touchdowns for AJ Green over the next 7 weeks.
Yeah, I would take that too. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. What odds can we get on that? 0.5,
I think, is sharp.
A couple of the wide receivers we will quickly want to mention here. Realize we're running a little bit long. We got Davante Adams, highest priced wide receiver on the slate, but he just continues to be able to produce no matter what his price point is. Tyler Lockett against San Francisco. Marcus Johnson, a very cheap option against Detroit. DeMarcus Robinson against the Jets. Stephon Diggs against the Patriots. And Jamison Crowder, when do you not love Jamison Crowder?
Yeah, yes, if he's still not practicing, so he might be out. Braxton Berrios would sub in. By the way, DeMarcus Robinson, we're going back because he's $300 cheaper than last week. So
wow,
perhaps we get him this week. We already liked him as a punt last week, but the snow kind of ruined that.
Al, how do you banish high rates on car insurance?
Send them to the nether regions?
No, you switched to Geico, tearing Geico Ween, obviously. Silly. October is Geico's favorite time of year, and Geico has been working even harder to cast out high rates on car insurance and craft just the right coverage for you and your family. But here's the other thing that you may not know about Geico. They could also help you uncover more ways to save on other things that are parked in your driveway, like that beloved motorcycle you have, Al, or the boat, or even your home away from home, the RV that I know the Zeidenfeld family takes every month, week, year, every summer
every
to
summer.
Joshua Tree.
Summer, yeah.
There you go. Yes, that one. Geico could even help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. So visit geico.com today and you'll see firsthand that switching your insurance coverage doesn't have to be scary. The only thing that's going to haunt your nightmares is seeing just how much you could have saved if you could have switched sooner. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Happy Geico-ween, everybody. All right, we're going to pivot ahead to tight ends here, and my favorite tight end, Harrison Bryant, $3,200. I made a late switch in my lineup last week when I just saw that Geno Smith was going to play. Decided not to go with Anthony Firkser. Harrison Bryant was the guy that I subbed in at $2,500.
Well done.
Worked out quite well. Only $3,200 here against the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike, do you see, I don't want to say a repeat in the cards, because what he did last week was great, over 20 fantasy points, but do you see another opportunity for him to break out among above this price point?
Yeah, I think he has a shot. I mean, at 3,200, he should be able to hit value on this for sure. 24 tight ends are priced higher than him. And if we look at last week, remember Austin Hooper was out. Odell Beckham is also out after just a few plays. Bryant played 47 snaps to David Njoku's 40. He had 5 targets, Njoku had 3. He had 4 catches, Njoku had 2. He had 56 yards, Njoku had 20. He had 2 touchdowns, Njoku had 1. So an 18% target share for Bryant. If we can hit that again this week, we should be all systems go. Raiders, by the way, mid-pack against tight ends on paper, but they shut down Carolina, New England, and Buffalo. Jared Cook scored a touchdown on them in week 2. They were crushed by Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski the past 2 weeks. So, you know, they didn't really beat up on tight ends at all. They just played teams that didn't use a tight end, and then they got crushed by everybody else. So I think this actually is kind of sneaky, but it's a good matchup.
Yeah, I love that. All right. Al, Darren Waller taking on the Cleveland Browns. It feels like we're talking about a fair amount of Raiders here this week, taking on a Browns defense.
Stacks, perhaps.
Yeah. You like Darren Waller this week. Only, what is he, $5,200 this week? $5,500?
Now I have to double check. You put me on a spot. I had him $600 this week.
There you go.
Cleveland's allowing opponents to complete 76.8% of passes thrown less than 10 yards. That's third highest in the league. Guess what? That's right where Waller operates, with like 89% of his points have come on passes that have traveled less than 10 air yards. And Mike, I know that you don't like small sample sizes, but and you definitely don't like narrative-driven stuff, but
no.
This is the only sample that we have. Is a 6-game sample for 2020. And in the 4 games that Henry Ruggs has played, Darren Waller, because of where he operates on the field and the type of routes and the respect that safeties have to give to Henry Ruggs, in the 4 games that Ruggs has played, he's averaged 17.9 fantasy points per game. And in the 2 games that he didn't, he's had 10.35 fantasy points per game. Safeties can creep closer to the line of scrimmage. He's just a little bit less effective in those situations. More receptions, more targets in those games where Ruggs is out there, leaving him more open on those short, close to line of scrimmage routes. So Ruggs is there. I love Ruggs as a tournament play this week too, but Darren Waller is your cash and tournament play, high floor and high ceiling.
We got a couple of the guys that we can talk about here, Al, because you also have Jonnu Smith and Trey Burton as other options you quickly want to mention here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Burton's role in that Colts offense is solid. I think that people are going to click on Jonathan Taylor this week, leaving Burton as somebody as a cheap tournament play with... I'm not going to say that he's my favorite cash game play. It's clearly Bryant. But like as a pivot off of those guys at a lower percentage, I like him. And Jonnu Smith has been extremely solid this year and is only at 4,100. So that mid-priced guy that I think is where you're going to end up a lot, having around 4,100 to 4,400 left, you're going to say, well, who's the best tight end in that range? If as my last man in, I think it's going to be Jonnu Smith.
Interesting. There you go. Another guy in that price range, Hunter Henry, Mike Clay. You know, I'm interested with Henry. I really, again, I want to see with Justin Herbert slinging it out there the way he has been. I would love to see Henry kind of take a little bit of a stronger grasp of some of the targets he's gotten here in this passing game.
Yeah, his share has been pretty good. I'm curious to see how he does in Herbert does in Denver, right? Division rivalry on the road in Denver. It's going to be interesting. You know, if there's going to be a dud, perhaps this is it. But I don't know. He's played too well to really doubt him. So, I mean, you have lots of opportunity here to go Herbert, Allen, Henry this week. And like I said, Henry has been solid so far. And we mentioned George Kittle, too. I think he's also a great value this week.
Okay. That is all of our players we're going to quickly discuss this week, but we got a bunch of lineups we got to give out. Last week we did pretty well, like we said. Mike Clay currently in the lead, 4 wins, 1 asterisk. Daniel only 3 wins. So let's go ahead and this week.
We're coming off a good weekend again. So remember, just keep an eye on the news leading up to the games. We'll be tweeting, we'll be updating stuff. Things could change, and especially for my lineup, because I have Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. I topped up Derek Carr, so both of those guys are fine options. But for this lineup, I have Garoppolo, Derek Henry at running back, Joe Mixon at running back. Again, keep an eye on his injury status. That'll shake things up if Mixon does not play. Kareem Hunt, obviously, we got to lock him in. Wide receivers, A.J. Green, Keenan Allen, and do you see what Tyler Lockett did last week? I'm going to start him. I'm going to chase your points from last week, Daniel. And of course, Harrison Bryant at tight end. I've got the Miami defense at just 2,400 filling out that spot.
All right. I'll tell you what, Joe Mixon is the biggest wild card there, because if Joe Mixon doesn't play and you decide whether you want to slot in Gio as a direct replacement, now you've got some more money to play with. Your lineup could look a little bit different on Sunday morning based on how this works out.
Yeah, yeah, it'll shake up. We'll see what happens.
I've got Justin Herbert at quarterback with Dalvin Cook, Kareem Hunt, and Miles Gaskin. I'm sorry. Do I have three running backs that are all going to get 20-plus touches? I believe I do. That's amazing.
Interesting.
All right, well, let's look at my wide receivers, because that must be where I lost some value. Oh, Keenan Allen. I'm sorry. I have Keenan Allen and DK Metcalf in my lineup.
Whoa.
Did you know that the 49ers defense can be beat deep? Do you know what DK Metcalf does when he's on the field?
Does he get deep?
He beats people deep, Mike Clay.
Better hope Jason Verrett's not on him. He's good at football.
I got Justin Reynolds at $3,100. He's my punt at wide receiver this week.
You're getting 0 points there. That's not a player, but okay.
Josh Reynolds. I can't believe I wrote in Justin Reynolds. Wow. I'm going to shut
Jay
this
Reynolds.
One down. Right. You guys are so mean to me.
You're kicked out.
Why are you guys being so mean to me today?
I was trying to save you.
I started this show talking about how you're supposed to love each other and that we're all supposed to be best friends.
But I'm being David Rose today.
I said it was cold here last night.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I did say that. That was
not honest.
Josh Reynolds, $3,100. I like him, actually. The last 2 weeks, he's looked good in that Rams offense. We've talked about a number of other guys there, though. And then for my tight end, I have Hunter Henry. Thought about going with Jonnu Smith. I'm kind of going back and forth, if I'm just being totally honest with you. I keep going back and forth between those two guys. So that puts me – and then the Lions defense, $2,500.
Looks sharp. Looks good.
Al Zeidenfeld, give us your weekly tournament lineup. Obviously, those are both more cash game oriented as we're trying with Mike.
Yeah, so I went with Burrow as my quarterback in this one. I went with Kareem Hunt and Miles Gaskin at running back. I chased the value there, and I don't care what percent Kareem Hunt is, because I can get away from that percent with the total overall percent of this lineup. Going with Keenan Allen at wide receiver, stacking Burrow with both A.J. Green and T. Higgins, bringing it back with A.J. Brown. Going with Darren Waller at tight end, which is my bring back or my secondary stack, with Kareem Hunt and the Packers defense at 2,900. Just kind of fits, and I like them, especially with the 87-mile-an-hour winds that may be in that game.
There you go.
I'm exaggerating. It's only 40.
Love it.
Still bad.
That is a lot.
That's real bad.
Yeah, you want to avoid winds. You know, we complain about rain and snow and everything. The most important thing to keep an eye on is wind, for sure. High winds can cause problems for fantasy.
Real quick question. When that happens, what is it that you do for those players? I understand season long is totally different than DFS, right? So if you look at a high wind game, do you think, all right, well, maybe they'll run the ball more. Maybe passing will be down.
Definitely. Definitely more. You would think more running, but lower production, lower scoring.
Lower efficiency, everything. Yeah.
So I would adjust the projections across the board. And you'll see that in the Vegas line, too. You'll see that start to drop, too.
If I wanted to put down a showdown lineup and win $3,000 this week, Mike, how is it that I would do that?
Yes, you would do... This is what I got. This is what the optimizer says. Mike Davis is your captain. No Christian McCaffrey, so he's sitting pretty in this one and a great matchup. Matt Ryan in your flex along with Robbie Anderson, Todd Gurley, Joey Sly. We're going kicker for the first time. And we'll be a little different here with Russell Gage as well. So that's what it spit out.
Love it. Do not forget to join our weekly contest. It is free to enter. You can win money.
Hey, we won money.
We did that last week by accident. I'm going to reinvest it into other DFS plays.
Indeed.
And I think that's it for this week, guys.
That is it. Great stuff. Let's try to do it again, boys.
Yeah, we're not going to see each other again until after Halloween. So, Al, I hope that you and your family have a fun and safe Halloween, however you guys decide to be able to do that. Mike, same with you guys. I know you got a couple of little kids that are probably going to have a lot of fun with candy.
We will have lots of fun. They're dressed as the Descendants, or people from the Descendants movies from Disney.
Oh, okay.
Company Man, so as Matthew likes to say.
Wow.
So it's going to be fun.
Al, what are you going as for Christmas?
What are you going as for Halloween?
I have not decided yet, but my kids are going as the Mandalorian and Bloodhound from Apex Legends wanted to be.
Yeah, Company Man is like got a little, little Star Wars in there. Great.
I hope that Mike can have another really good weekend in DFS so we can afford the very expensive eye cream from Paris.
Yes. That's what we're looking for.
That's true.
All right.
Appreciate it.
For Al, for Mike, my name is Daniel. Thank you so much for hanging out and listening to us. We will see you guys next week. And don't forget to love each other. See you guys soon.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.